Welcome in on your Monday afternoon to Redacted. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris. Welcome, welcome.
We're still banned. We're still blocked on YouTube. But welcome to all of our Rumblers who are joining us here on the show. Welcome to all of you who've discovered Rumble for the first time and maybe Twitch for the first time. And maybe you said, hey, I have a Facebook account. I can watch you guys live there.
Some people have done that, and we appreciate it, although it kind of lifts the veil because some of you, we get to see your real name, and we only knew you by your YouTube screen name, and that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
But that's okay. You know my real name.
David's there. Philip's there in the control booth, rocking and rolling. How was your weekend, guys?
Good afternoon.
I woke up to about 10 inches of snow this morning outside.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's so funny because, like, Pizza, she's from Texas, so she's seen a little bit of snow we got in the winter, but then today she went out and it was, like, up to her belly, and she just came running back in, like, peed on the porch and then ran back in. And I think we just lost Clayton and Natalie.
It does look that way.
So hold on a second. Let me switch to my main scene. I am actually... without power, somehow the whole back of my set, just the battery that I have back there, the UPS, it just completely died. So I've got no power behind me. So all of my stuff is dark. So you guys
UPS?
Back?
Yeah.
We're here. I don't know what happened.
Hmm.
We did have a big storm. So anyway.
Yeah. Well, I was just saying, we just had 10 inches of snow and Pizza does not like it. So I don't know how I'm going to get her to poop outside today.
Pizza's his dog.
Yeah. I was starting to say, if you're new to the show and you don't know who Pizza is David's dog.
Yeah.
Not a slice of pizza.
No, right. We are back from a recent COVID diagnosis. We are going to talk more about the pandemic. Should we still be calling it the pandemic? I guess it still
is a pandemic.
It still rages throughout. So we both had positive cases. And we are just fine. We are breakthrough infections, mm-hmm. second time. So we're fully vaccinated, but
think,
now we've
I
had
COVID. I
think
we can stop
twice.
Calling them breakthrough because they're I not guess, really breakthrough well, anymore.
It's not, right? No. But at the same time, I say it like tongue in cheek, like I had your vaccine.
Right.
You can say that on Rumble.
And still got it twice, you know? Yeah. And so I guess I'm only saying it as a like, thanks for that. So yeah. Glad I took time
like,
out of
thanks,
my day.
Thanks, Mr. Acavano.
Right. Thanks. Thanks, Wuhan Lab. Really appreciate that.
So Clayton's still a little...
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But I'm fine.
So I've got my coffee here. I'm trying to... if you hear me, I'll put the mute button here. And by the way, does the mute button work? If I try this with the mute button, David, does this work? Can you hear me if I press the mute button that's muted? It's now we're muted? No.
Nope,
no.
I still hear you.
So what's weird is David tells me there's a mute button. Press the button, and it lights up red. But no, it doesn't block anything.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's like you have to block it to the stream mix. I'll have to look at that.
But there's some person, like random person on Earth, that every time you hit that, nobody can hear him.
Yeah, right. Or his garage door opens and closes somewhere. So coming up on the show, we're going to dive deep into what's going on with the war, the very latest there. A lot of movement from NATO over the weekend, and the
you posture. Got a little,
thank you.
Foam.
I got a little coffee foam.
Cappuccino.
So we're going to talk about that, the U.S. response, and so much more. So let's just dive into it, shall we?
Yes.
Let's start with the very latest out of Ukraine, and over the weekend it was full scale, full steam ahead, because as Vladimir Putin continues his assault on the eastern part of the country, the United States and NATO are ramping up its support for the war in Ukraine and basically saying, hey, we're all in. This is a full scale support. NATO is saying, we are now going to give you everything we've got. We are going to promise to give you unlimited weapons and whatever you need. We're going full military support now in Ukraine.
And so there is no longer a distinction of like what we will or will not do. There's no, the veil has been lifted, right? But at the same time, Ukraine is saying it's not coming fast enough. So will we ever get an accounting for what we sent there? Who knows?
And Jens Stoltenberg, the chief of the alliance, said, yes, we are going to have a permanent military presence sufficient to repel a Russian invasion. And Boris Johnson showed up there this weekend. It was weird to see him walking through the streets, I mean, of the capital.
Right. Don't you need to walk in camouflage or anything like that? Like, it's a very conspicuous outfit.
Not when the danger is really not as bad as they say it is. Did you get that that tweet I sent you, Clayton, to your text where it showed Zelensky sitting on the steps and they got like photographers taking like professional photos with him and like sandbags behind him. And
yeah, he has enough time taken out of his day where he can actually just do photo shoots, which is, you know, what you do in the middle of a war. You just do on full on photo shoots, and that's no problem.
Well, that's exactly
what
this feels
like. How do you
know
that that's recently? Because otherwise it didn't look like that.
Yeah, and you got a full film crew taking photos, and
yeah,
I mean that's what I was getting at is that thing with Boris Johnson or whatever. It just feels like the same thing. It feels like this is all a big media campaign.
Well, okay, but people are dying and people are losing their homes and families are being torn apart. But this does not seem. I mean, but the optics, it feels more and more every day like the optics are more important than whatever the truth.
And I agree with you 100% that stuff is happening. But I think where the information is getting muddy is who's doing it.
Yes. Yes.
Well, yeah. And so, I mean, let's go back to NATO, though. I mean, this is the most important part of this story is that NATO, the entire reason Vladimir Putin said he was going to invade Ukraine was the denazification of Ukraine. It was to make sure that NATO doesn't set foot any further closer to Russian borders. And this is what they dubbed their special military operation. And now you have a full-scale NATO military force, which is set to defend the borders of Ukraine. Why not make them then a NATO member at this point?
Right. And what is the distinction then, right? Because
there is no distinction.
And one of the problems that President Trump, when he was in office, had with NATO was that the United States overfunded NATO. He felt like other participating countries did not pay their fair share.
Right.
So you could, I suppose, get membership without paying dues because no one's going to ask Ukraine to pay
it's
up.
It's like getting a free Netflix account.
But at the same time, recently Russell Brand did a really good video about how Ukraine is not getting a pass on the payments for what we're sending them, especially on interest payments for money that we've already loaned them.
Right.
So if there was really this, like, we hope for the best, we want to rebuild Ukraine, then we would operate different financially.
Well, absolutely. Think about this, right? This is the real discussion I want to have, too, is around the money. And so you have Ukraine, which is getting unlimited amount of weapons right now.
Yes.
From the United States, from NATO allies. And yet they're taking on massive loans to these very same countries. Does that make any sense at all? Can you wrap your heads around this?
Wait. Who's taking loans from whom?
Well, Ukraine is taking loans not only from different member countries of NATO individually.
Right.
I mean, heck, Boris Johnson just made a deal there this weekend where he was shaking hands with Vladimir Zelensky and offering him loans from the UK government. So we'll give you full loans and weapons. Okay, but then you're going to have to pay back these loans.
Right.
And I think Russell Brand's point in that video, I watched it last week, was...
Is that benevolent?
Well, I mean, if you really want to help these countries, if you really want to help Ukraine, wouldn't you wipe away this debt in
right.
the same way that we would demand President Biden wipe away student loan debt? Right. If you really want to help these people, if you really want to, then wipe away the debt.
Yes.
You're mounting all of this additional debt onto this country. That's truly, to me, that's really telling. And what's so telling about it is that the underlying mission for these banks mm-hmm. and the World Bank is that they get to make money off of this war. They get to make interest off of war.
Yes.
That's why these banks, I mean, you think about the corruption here. These banks are like, no. Oh, Ukraine, you want some additional money? Sure. 5% interest.
Yeah.
You want to continue wars? Fine. Here you go. Here's some money. Don't worry. You're going to have to pay it back, though. We're not wiping away this debt for you. That, to me, is the most outrageous part
of
this.
And there is this now rolling propaganda of, like, now there are non-NATO countries that are thinking, no, maybe we will join NATO. And I'm just so confused on what is the selling point that you have seen, Finland, that makes it sound so fun to join NATO, right? And Finland doesn't really have... I'm confused. I'm just confused how there's this sort of rolling propaganda of NATO is good... Right. And everyone is. Why is that a given? Right.
Why is what? A given?
Why is that a given that like NATO
well,
is
when
a
has NATO
force?
Ever been? When has NATO ever been a force for defense and not offense?
A force for defense and not offense.
Don't throw us but it was, okay. conundrums.
Well, it was a force for defense and not offense. Well, it was created as a defense.
Well, of course,
specifically,
but that's so people would buy into it.
as a hedge against Stalin, right? That's what it was. It was a hedge against arguably, I mean.
Well, I think that most people think that that's what NATO is doing now, is defending.
Yeah. I heard an interview just the other night where this is an author of a book about, and he was talking to me. He's like, you know, we have to remember, it's like NATO is there and NATO is passive. NATO is passive. What? I just about spit out my coffee. I'm like, NATO is passive? NATO is passive. And he's like, you know, making the point that, you know, NATO hasn't invaded Chechnya. NATO didn't invade these different regions around the world. Are you smoking crack? Like, what are you actually, where are you getting your information from? Yeah. NATO countries are not involved in all sorts of government overthrow?
Right. That's...
Maybe not on the books. Maybe it's not, you know, it's not written out. NATO is invading this country this week, but NATO member countries certainly provide. Look what's happening in Yemen right now, for crying out loud.
You know,
that's the thing is NATO, like NATO in one part, you know, they are doing what they're supposed to do, which is just like that agreement that nobody like, you know, like that kind of like anti-Stalinist, like nobody gets to step foot into any of these countries. Right. But if they all band together and do something else together, they just don't wear their NATO jackets and it's fine.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I'm not wearing my Letterman jacket today. So I don't get, you know, you won't know me from that.
Therefore, I'm not representing the team.
Exactly.
Yeah. Clayton and I just finished this book called This Is How They Tell Us the War, how they tell me the war ends, about cyber warfare, and specifically what all governments are doing right now, stockpiling cyber weapons. And the author goes to Argentina because some of the best hackers in the world are there. And she says, well, you know, you and your hacker friends, you only sell to NATO, right? So that's how you sleep at night. It's okay. You only sell to NATO because they're benevolent forces. And the hacker's like, you need to change your worldview in this, like, right and wrong. And I'm not the kind of person who ever really roots for any one government power, because I think they're all oppressive towards human living. But at the same time, when I wrote that in my review and I had someone else say, well, I don't like it when people talk bad about NATO because it means that they are for Russia and China's way of living. And I was like, there are so many other ways to be in the world than these polarities. And this is oversimplifying this war, I think, is what we've been saying on this show over and over and over again, is like, if you are not for Ukraine, you're for Russia. If you're not for Russia, you're for the United States. If you're not for the United States, you're for Russia. There are so many different ways we could set up our world choose not to.
Let's get to the Jake Sullivan soundbite here, because so this weekend Jake Sullivan popped up on Warmonger Meet the Press with Chuck Todd, who loves war, and he's apoplectic. He's like, why is the United States not doing more and doing it yesterday to get as many weapons into Ukraine as possible? I mean, again, this is not a war. This is, after all, what President Biden said would lead to World War III. Did he not? This is what he told us. When we send these weapons, this would be, make no mistake, my friends, this would be World War III. Those were his words. And so here we are, pumping as many weapons as we can into this country. Here's Jake Sullivan.
A country is at war. The weapons never come fast enough when you've got people coming in a hot shooting war. What can the United States be doing right now to accelerate this process? Because clearly, whether it's President Zelensky in his interview with the Associated Press, or what you heard just there from the foreign minister, none of it is coming fast enough for them.
Well, when you're in the middle of a war where you're being attacked by your neighbor, by Russia, in the brutal and vicious ways that Russia is attacking Ukraine, it only stands to reason that you'd be asking for things to come as rapidly as possible, that they get there yesterday. And we are doing everything we can as the United States, working around the clock to deliver our own weapons. And as the foreign minister just said, organizing and coordinating the delivery of weapons from many other countries so that Ukraine has what it needs. Weapons are arriving every day, including today. And this week, along with Chairman Milley, I spent 2 hours on the phone with the chief of the Ukrainian Armed Forces and President Zelensky's top aide. And we went through every weapon system that Ukraine is seeking in priority order. And we have developed plans to deliver those as rapidly as possible. Some have been delivered. Others are in the process of being delivered. And we will continue to work aggressively to get Ukraine what it needs to strengthen its hand on the battlefield and to strengthen its hand at the bargaining table.
Yeah. just going to send you as many things as we possibly can. We're going to just continue. And just to give you some numbers here, the U.S. has announced a total of $1.7 billion in Ukraine since the invasion began. Okay, that's $1.7 billion on top of the additional $13 or $14 billion in quote-unquote humanitarian aid. The U.K. is also bringing in now, that's why Boris Johnson showed up, 120 armored vehicles, anti-ship missiles. Germany is sending 100 howitzer artillery systems to the Ukraine. The list is endless on how many weapons they're sending. And of course, they're doing their full-on propaganda campaign on top of it to try to raise as much money and awareness. Last night, Zelensky was on 60 Minutes. He says, I have 100% confidence in our people and in our armed forces, but unfortunately, I don't have the confidence that we will be receiving everything we need. So going on CBS, like, how do you get that message out? Go on CBS, go on 60 Minutes, brought to you by Northrop Grumman, brought to you by Raytheon. And get that message out there. Make sure Washington's paying attention.
Sorry, you know, how convenient is it that they just overlook and forget the Bay of Pigs? Like, this is the exact same situation in reverse. Like, we are literally putting missiles outside of their borders. And it almost started a war with us when they did it in Cuba. Like, this is the exact same thing reversed. And it's like nobody sees that.
Well, you don't see things how they are. You see things how you are. An old Talmudic saying. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, the United States just assumes that the world will see things its own way because of propaganda, because of popularity.
And then what's the end game? I mean, you think Vladimir Putin is going to roll over and, you know, wants his belly rubbed? Like, you know, you have to understand Vladimir Putin is a dictator by all accounts. I mean, make no mistake about it. He's a guy who poisons his enemies.
Yes, he's an autocrat as well. He keeps himself in power.
His grandfather was the taster for Stalin, and literally his chef and taster. Like, he loved Stalin. He holds Stalin up in the highest regard and hopes to bring Russia back to its Stalinistic roots. You know, this is not a guy who's going to sit there and take this.
Yeah.
And that's what he said today. Vladimir Putin said that these weapons in our backyard is an act of war. So you want your World War III, you're going to get it. You're already in the midst of it. And who's profiting off of this? The world banks,
right?
The major banks, of course, who are going to be loaning Ukraine all this money on loan. And all of the military industrial complex are going to continue to make an enormous amount of money.
Yes.
Yeah. No more to say about that.
No, I'm just as perplexed as
you. It's just shocking. It's just shocking because it's like once you've seen history's propaganda, and you like again watch that the movie The Ukrainian on Fire, the documentary by
Oliver Stone. Oh,
yeah, Oliver Stone. And you just like you see how these playbooks play out, and it's playing out like that in the exact same way. It's like it's like a blueprint for propaganda. And it's like, you know, when that I don't know how many people got to listen to that interview that we played from that CIA guy the other day on the show. We're working on a loop of that stuff, but it's very revealing to know how the propaganda works. And then once you see that, and once you have heard them tell you how it works, you can clearly see these things being laid out exactly how they have with every single thing we've been through. The Iraq war, you know, with the weapons of mass destruction, like they come up with this terminology, and then every news agent says the same words. It's this, it's this, it's this. And it just becomes this repeated thing that people get on board with. And like, that's exactly what I'm seeing in this situation.
Well, we're primed for it, too. A nation of discord and disinformation, right? Mm-hmm. And as we talk later about the attack on CNN this weekend, or over the last week, it's interesting because we don't trust anything until there's a crisis and there is like a, you know, this is something we can gel around, is that, oh, we hate Russia. Okay, so we're all anti-Russia. So we should just, you know, send guns wherever they're needed, right? We don't hate Russia enough to care about fighting them in proxy wars, but we care about this direct conflict. And then how long until we don't, right? And so it's interesting because for some reason, this conflict has kept our attention for longer. And it is interesting to see fighting with words in order to get what the government wants, what ultimately is good for the government and not for any other living beings.
Yeah.
Well, and you don't have to look very far to see that, you know, the United States doesn't keep its promises. So what's going to happen is once we get what we want out of this war, will leave them all high and dry.
Right. I mean, but we will continue to put ourselves in debt for this war, which is acceptable to every taxpayer, apparently, or else we would vote in different leaders.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. So I guess we're going to move on. Let's move on.
Shall we?
Yes. Let's move on and let's talk about what's going on right now in Shanghai. So you might have seen the headlines over the past 24 hours, 48 hours about the draconian lockdowns that are unfolding right now in Shanghai, China. We're receiving, 20,000 new cases, positive COVID cases per day. They've put all sorts of apartment complexes, different, as they call them, different compounds, on total lockdown. To the point now where food markets are closed, people are running out of food. People are literally jumping off of balconies in Shanghai right now, jumping off of balconies to their death. And yes, we're just getting off of COVID. So if you're hearing me cough, last week we both got hit with our second dose of COVID, whatever. I don't even know what strain it is at this point.
No,
certainly not Omicron. Tested. We don't even know, but we were tested. We did test positive. We had to quarantine at home, at home.
You can't get it from watching us.
So thank you, Natalie, Wuhan.
I was just going to say, did you get it as bad this round as you did the first round as well? Or
me?
I feel like it was way easier. Yeah.
This wasn't so bad. No. I mean, I felt like I had a bad cold for about a day and a half. Last time I really felt crappy, like my whole body hurt. I didn't have aches. I didn't have a fever. But I did not want to speak to humans. Just a normal,
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting because when you think about trying to eradicate COVID completely, there's no discussion in China anyway about whether or not it's actually more virulent and whether or not people are being hospitalized and dying at a greater effect. We've discussed many times that lockdowns do their own types of harm. I mean, thinking about people who are literally just jumping from buildings, right? Watching some of this coverage out of people back in lockdown, I admit it. I feel anxious, like triggered from our own experience, the idea of going back into a situation where you're helpless.
Well, a number of Americans.
Although we are right now, we're supposed to, like, our quarantine ends today because we tested positive a week ago. So,
well, American cities are going back into different forms of lockdowns, different forms of COVID quarantines, and masking rules are popping up once again in California and other spots. So get ready for that. But in Shanghai specifically, I mean, it's draconian, it's dystopian, it's terrifying. Let me just play you some of the images. This is what you'll see out of your window. They're literally flying drones and blasting information at you like it's something out of Blade Runner. And the streets are lined with these like robotic dogs with bullhorns telling you what to do.
Well,
I'm telling you what, if I see that thing walking down the street, I'm kicking it.
No, you're not. You'd get arrested for that.
I mean, we warned you about these like robotic police dogs, like in Hawaii, they were rolling these things out.
Yeah, but you've seen people try to knock them over. You can't. You kick it. It'll just like,
boom, the flop right back up. Like, yeah. I'm going to disinfect you.
So what you want to do is just take a crowbar to the speaker. That's all you
do. I smash that thing. I mean, this is like, to me, this feels like end times. When I see stuff like this, like they're literally locking every one of these apartment complexes. People are jumping to their deaths out off of balconies. They can't get food and they're yelling down. They're saying, we don't have food. Please help us. We don't have food. We don't have anything. And this is just a sample of some of the reporting that's there. This is a reporter who's explaining, like, he's not even allowed to go outside. If he leaves the barrier of his building and breaks the paper barrier, he could be probably thrown in jail. I mean, there are reports of people being thrown in prison, like you never see them again. And under Xi's regime, there's been so many reports that I've been reading over the past 24 hours about people who've just disappeared, and where the government has even been harvesting their organs as a result. disappear. You'll never hear from them again. And gone. I mean, gone. And harvesting their organs. Listen to this reporter, though, talk about being locked behind a wall.
Really, anytime soon. Dave, before I let you go, just clarify. You're shut in? There's like a paper barrier keeping you from exiting, going to the food market where you are right now?
It's a piece of paper. Yeah, well, for one, the food market's not even open. The folks who work at the food market are also locked down. But yeah, I can't go outside that door. There's a seal. If I do, physically I could do it, but I would break the seal. And there's repercussions for that. You have to have a community worker escort you to pick up food deliveries, if you're lucky enough to get them, and to get the government distributions if they happen to come.
I mean, it's so perplexing. I have a friend who lives in China who was receiving these boxes. And she was saying, you know, I actually got one before I could even finish it. I got another one. So the government was on top of these for a while. But it does. It seems that I don't know what is the long-term plan of zero COVID just continues to get out of control. And, you know, we had been interviewing people who help other people with their estate planning. And an estate planner that we interviewed, who a guy who wrote the book Nomad Capitalist, had said there are people right now who are shopping for passports just to find the place in the world that will give them the most freedom, right? Mm-hmm. And that is actually so. It's very anxietizing to think, and I think had not the rest of the world been through this, we would just sort of like, oh, China, they do weird things sometimes, right? But now we see how that's where it started, right? But it rolls out for the rest of us. And if some of us aren't free, then none of us are. It's really hard to watch in some of these videos that you see of people being back in lockdown, back with their kids, back with no information, right?
Well, and what I want to know is what rebel took that picture of the seal?
Yeah. Right.
That means
Who's on the outside that got that picture?
They had to text it to them, though, right? Because, like, this is what's on the outside of your door, and if you open it, we'll know. Because otherwise, how would you know?
Right. It's very much like Moon Knight. You know, he's putting tape up around his door to make sure that he doesn't go out.
Yeah.
Anyway, I wanted to show you a video of one gentleman who's stuck now back home with his, I think he's got two kids in a small Shanghai apartment. And he's, you know, if anyone in their entire building is test positive, and they're constantly being tested, they have testing sites set up on their street, like six of them on every street. If anyone tests positive, they all and everyone in the whole building has to go back under lockdown for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. And here he is saying, we're running out of food. And this is exactly what's happening right now.
There was, in fact, a positive case in our compound, actually in our building, April 1st. Means we have to quarantine for 2 weeks, 14 days from that time, which sucks. So that means potentially we'd get out April 14th. Pretty disappointed. Every building, like every compound has cases. A city this size, I can't imagine how many cases there are citywide. We're really struggling to get food right now. Basically spent all day yesterday and even this morning figuring out ways to get various kinds of foods. Otherwise, by this time next week, we'll probably be down to rice and ketchup. I don't know. Anyway, yeah.
That's good. That's good, though. Rice and ketchup.
Rice and ketchup. Yeah.
That's awful.
And rice and sriracha.
I mean, he has little kids. When you watch later on, you know, they go to get tested, and he's like, oh, you know, my little bud here, he did okay doing testing, and kids and testing is awful. They scream like mad. So the fact that he got a little one, you know,
and is he over there for work or what is his reason for being?
He's a teacher. He's a teacher there, but his wife, you know, his wife is Chinese, and so they live there, and this is the reality.
I mean, not just to have to test your kids, but to not be able to feed your kids, kids, right, who have no concept of. We can't feed you. This is awful.
All right, let's take a break. You want to tell us about our show sponsor?
Yes, I do, but I need just 1 minute because our internet went down. Absolutely. Hold, please. All right, our show sponsor today is Athletic Greens. Athletic Greens is a fantastic company that helps you boost your nutrition and your energy level with their Athletic Greens product that you put inside of any drink that you're drinking. Water is best. And it comes in many different flavors and it helps with hydration. So what exactly is this stuff? Well, with one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day off right. It's a special blend of ingredients that supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, aging, all the things, right? And I will tell you that Athletic Greens are especially good if you are recovering from something like COVID, which we are. We also had two kids that tested positive with us. One kid did not. And they love Athletic Greens. They love to mix it in with their smoothies, especially. And so anytime they're making a smoothie, I'm like, oh yeah, you can add that in a little bit extra oomph. It's fantastic. And it's easy. It's lifestyle friendly, whether you keep paleo or keto or vegan, dairy-free or gluten-free, it fits into all of those diets. It contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything. Like I said, I gave it to my children. So, it's extra good. And Athletic Greens uses the best of the best products based on the latest science with constant product iterations and third-party testing. So right now, you can make it easy and go to Athletic Greens and get one free year supply of immune supporting vitamin D plus 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is go to athleticgreens.com/invest. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/invest to take ownership of your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
All right. Our thanks to Athletic Greens, our daily driver of vitamins.
So who was the one that didn't get it?
The youngest, my 5-year-old, didn't get it.
Did she feel left out? Was she like, oh, I want it too?
A little bit, because she had to stay with my sister and we isolated her and I really missed her a lot. That's hard for me.
I can imagine.
She had COVID in September. And so, to be honest, by the time it starts rolling through and one person has it, my personal philosophy is that and actually, most of the data we've covered here on the show shows that people who have it naturally have their antibodies stay at a higher level for longer than people who rely on the vaccine for protection. So as soon as we knew we had it, then we all got tested. And my middle daughter tested positive, and I was really happy about it because she's asymptomatic, and she's the one who recently had pneumonia. So I was glad that she was building immunity to it, and it did not trigger any other lung infection. So
awesome.
Besides all of that, I mean, it's a pain, you know, to quarantine, but I was like, okay, good, you. And then Clayton and I started to get sick and started to test negative, and that was annoying. So I just kept going back because I'm like, I know I have it. Give me this
positive
test.
There's a positive test in here somewhere.
So by the time we tested positive, I was just relieved because, again, of the data on having a natural exposure to it and how much stronger it makes you.
Yeah, and it's amazing that, you know, the United States still isn't on that bandwagon. I mean, it's ridiculous, right?
You know
what,
though?
Europe is on the, you know, natural immunity.
Yes, because you get a certificate that is good for 6 months, which means I'm not taking a COVID test again for another 6 months because now my recovery certificate will, like, open the doors for me, right? Interestingly enough, my mother sent me an article today from AARP, which is one of our show sponsors. The magazine of AARP is saying you don't really need that fourth booster yet. Just hold off.
And plenty of other doctors are saying.
Right. And I thought that was so interesting because of all the propaganda of like, just go get more shots. Right. But this is one independent journal that's saying we think you should hold off. You don't necessarily need it. Talk to your doctor.
You see that guy, I don't know where he was. I don't know what country he was in. Was he in Canada or something where he got 90 shots?
He was in Germany.
Oh, he's in Germany. He got like 90 shots.
Selling vaccine passports.
So he could sell the vaccine passport after. Can you imagine what his blood looks like?
Gosh.
He probably can't even go through metal detectors.
Like how many spike proteins? Like that's amazing.
God.
Yeah.
That guy's going to die of cancer in a few months. All right. Let's talk about the Hunter Biden story and some major developments unfolding for the Biden family, because it's not just Hunter Biden. I mean, all eyes now really firmly pointing towards Joe Biden. And we'll get to that in just a second. But over the weekend, this was a bombshell story. Former Director of National Intelligence Rick Grenell came out with a statement saying that there's no way this Biden laptop gets covered up without the help of the DOJ. I mean, just think about that for a second. The former Director of National Intelligence says that this Hunter Biden laptop cover-up had to have been helped by the DOJ and the FBI. He said said there was no possible way the laptop was covered up sans help from these officials in these departments. He says, I don't say it lightly. There's no possible way that someone at DOJ didn't see what was happening with the laptop 3 weeks before the 2020 election. Let me be very clear, he said. That is the Beijing line. That's what China wants you to do. China does not want you looking at the laptop because of all the details about the Chinese businessmen with the Biden family. He also said there was no possible way that FBI agents didn't notice that the Biden team and Democrats were blaming the laptop on a Russian disinformation campaign. He said that when the Democrats and the DOJ and the FBI allowed the narrative to shift, the Chinese loved it.
Right, because these were things that those organizations should have been interested in looking into, right?
Yeah.
Hunter Biden is currently under investigation by the FBI. Right. This is at least this is true, right? So they could have corroborated it. They could have superseded it. There's all manner of things that they could have done. They absolutely have looked on that laptop. Yeah.
Well, now it's starting. And the scheme is starting to unravel here. And as you know, Miranda Devine, who of course was the New York Post reporter who broke the laptop story initially, that then got blocked by social media. You weren't allowed to share it on Twitter or Google or any place, right? It was totally blocked. She wrote a book about it. Then, still, no one talked about the book, even though the evidence was overwhelming. And then a few weeks ago, now the New York Times confirmed her story and said, yes, it is authentic. Those emails on the Hunter Biden laptop are authentic. Well, she's never stopped. She's never stopped reporting on this. And she says that all of this is now pointing right towards President Biden. This idea that he is not connected, didn't know about it, wasn't involved, is just laughable. Let's listen into Miranda Devine be interviewed about this.
Is to report on it. One of the things that you've been reporting on, Miranda, is that the White House continues to insist that Joe Biden had no knowledge or involvement in Hunter Biden's business dealings. Yet you and some of your colleagues pointed out 12 particular occasions when it appears he did.
Well, that's right. I think it's really not a sustainable line for the White House to continue to bat away questions about Joe Biden's involvement in his son Hunter's business dealings by saying continuing on with the line that Joe Biden told the American people before the election, which is he knew nothing, because even Hunter has admitted talking to his father, about his Ukrainian business dealings, and there's just overwhelming evidence. I mean, those 12 bits of evidence that we published today is just the tip of the iceberg. There's evidence of commingled finances, shared bank accounts, and Joe Biden met with multiple of Hunter Biden's overseas business partners. He met them in Beijing. Mm-hmm. He met them in Washington, D.C.
There's also evidence of a shared office in the Swedish embassy building on the Georgetown waterfront. Our Peter Ducey questioned Jen Psaki about it yesterday. Let's listen to the exchange.
So there's evidence that the president at one point was office mates with Hunter and his brother Jim here in D.C.
It's not accurate.
That is not accurate.
They were not office mates, no.
They were not office mates, okay.
Great.
Jen Psaki says they were not office mates. What say you?
Technically, she's correct, because the CEFC deal with that Chinese energy company fell through. because Hunter's business partners got arrested and disappeared and so on. But Hunter had made the nameplates for that office for his father and himself and a Chinese guy, and they were going to be, in his words, office mates. He'd also cut keys for his father and his mother for that office. So, you know, Jen Psaki is just being coy and, I guess, answering to the letter of the law, but she knows that there's more to it, and it's probably why she wants to leave the White House press office ASAP.
What's interesting, too, is that since...
So there's a lot here that's, you know, finally, and the media is finally paying attention to it, and it's not just conservative media.
But I think that they're banking on the fact that it's a little too confusing for the average person to pay attention to, because the idea was that Joe Biden wanted Ukrainians to fire certain politicians that were corrupt, and they didn't necessarily want to do it. And so somehow Hunter Biden became qualified to help intermediate between Ukrainian interest and access to his father, right? And so there are emails corroborating this conflict of interest. And I guess, what is the public supposed to think, right? When the Biden administration says, no, that was just, it was Hunter's own business. We didn't know. It was not really his laptop. And the story keeps changing. But what's there is a little too confusing for the average, like, that, will it hurt him, I guess? Like, for it actually to hurt the president, because, yes, the Fox News lovers care, right? But does anybody else care?
Yeah, I mean, does it lead to, like, a prosecution? Doubtful. I mean, but as Glenn Greenwald has reported on this recently, and he's no partisan hack of any kind, and his reporting on this has been excellent, that, of you know, the ship has sailed. I mean, he won the election.
Yes.
So now they can come out. Now the New York Times, of course, people call it the paper of record, and we talk about how awful the New York Times is all the time on this show. But so they can come out and report it and say that it's okay now, it's all good to go, and now we can just sweep. Now, you know, the mainstream media can say, good, we'll get this off of our plate, sweep it under the rug. But as you see, Democrats now beginning to line up and say, is Joe Biden going to be the nominee in 2024?
Yes.
This will be, he's, you know, going to fall on the sword here. Is this going to be the end of Joe Biden? Is this the end of him? Are they starting to put up other candidates now, starting to run names through the mill about replacing him? And I think, I just cannot wrap my head around the idea that Joe Biden runs in 2024.
But I guess the main question is there a consequence for lying when the lie is so confusing?
But based on the track record of Congress policing Congress, no, there are no consequences. None at all for any of
that's
them.
What I mean,
ever.
Like, look at Trump. I mean, what,
yeah. Because it's
he's
it's,
out there playing golf right now. I mean, you know, all these guys
par
are
for the course for political lying.
All these guys are crooked. I mean, these guys are all in cahoots. They're all crooked. And just because one party gets kicked out and somebody's a member, you know, maybe that person represented the FBI during a time when Trump was in power, and this guy and that guy, and he's worked with Trump at one point or didn't, or he was a point. It doesn't matter. They're all part of one corrupt government. And so the chances of Joe Biden being prosecuted in any kind of way, I mean, highly unlikely.
Even if there was any
like
kind of
what?
Evidence that he did, that his campaign worked along with the Department of Justice, because again, Michael Cohen went to prison for this.
But who?
For suppressing a news story about Stormy Daniels. That's specifically why Michael Cohen made headlines, was because he kept Stormy Daniels' story down. And he had, presumably, he did not have the benefit of the Justice Department or the FBI.
What Democrat himself. What Democrat on the Senate Judiciary Committee is going to bring forth like a hearing on this? Like who's going to be the
president,
one?
What president in history has been charged with anything? There've been plenty of crimes.
I mean, and that's the thing. Like, so if you look at like the January 6th committee, where they've basically come to the conclusion, like there's enough evidence to send to the DOJ on Trump, but they don't want to do it because it may look political. So then what's the point? You know, it's always going to be something like that. You know, it's just they'll find some reason to get their political points with their base and then do nothing.
Crimson in our chat said, you know, the girl you just showed thinks the elections were stolen. I don't care what she thinks about that. Her reporting on the Hunter Biden laptop story is the, it was, she broke the story, like, and everyone blocked it. And you weren't allowed to share it on Twitter. You weren't allowed to share it on social media. And well, she's since been vindicated on that. It's ridiculous.
That frustrates me, too. It's like if somebody has one bad take on something, then it's like so many people want to write off everything they say from that point on. It's like
we all have bad takes on things.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, all of us do. We should just say that right now so that we can at least work out our bad takes together and not throw away anything else that we have that's good takes.
Yeah. I mean, look, I used to anchor the news for 4 hours a day from 6 a.m. till 10 a.m. on Fox News, you know, and for 10 years. And there was a lot of things that came through that were, man, I wish I could have taken that back or seen it differently or had this piece of information at the time before. All of that. I mean, but, you know, she broke that story. She broke it wide open. And it was completely crapped on by the Bidens.
Yeah.
And they lied. They lied straight to our faces. Jen Psaki lied straight to our faces, telling us that this was Russian disinformation when they knew it wasn't and they knew it was a lie. So where this goes, we don't know. But I think it's interesting to put in these different voices when you have the former head of the head of the DNI saying that there's no way these government organizations weren't aware of it and weren't involved in it.
And these are the government organizations currently supporting us to move forward into a war, right?
So, and by the way, these government organizations
are not unrelated.
They lie to us all the time. I mean, that's their whole business. We just had the story last week on this show from NBC News, that bombshell story last week, where we now know that President Biden was lying right to our face about the information that was being used to justify a speedier move into Ukraine.
Yes.
Lying about Putin about to be using chemical weapons, and which was a total fabrication. So again, you know, these government organizations use false flags all the time and lies. So we shouldn't be surprised. But we'll see where this goes. Let us know in the chat what you think happens here with the Hunter Biden laptop story. More on that.
All right. Well, over the weekend, CNN anchors had their feet held to the fire about the narrative that they have taken on certain programming.
Yeah. So we'll get to, there's two parts of this story. I mean, CNN is getting humiliated over the past 48 hours, 72 hours for a variety of reasons. One of which is holding a seminar, being a part of a group discussion at a university on disinformation in the media. I love that they invited CNN's Brian Stelter.
Yes.
Among others to sit on a panel to talk about what it's like to navigate disinformation in the media, like the purveyors of disinformation right there, CNN, being asked to moderate a panel on it is hilarious. So one of the questions from one of the audience members was pretty poignant, and he ripped right into Brian Stelter for spreading disinformation. Listen.
Hi, thank you for coming. My name is Christopher Phillips. I'm a first year at the college. My question is for Mr. Stelter. You've all spoken extensively about Fox News being a purveyor of disinformation, but CNN is right up there with them. They push the Russian collusion hoax. They push the Jussie Smollett hoax. They smear Justice Kavanaugh as a rapist, and they also smeared Nick Salmon as a white supremacist. And yes, they dismiss the Hunter Biden laptop affair as pure Russian disinformation. With mainstream corporate journalists becoming little more than apologists and cheerleaders for the regime, is it time to finally declare that the canon of journalistic ethics is dead or no longer operative? All the mistakes of the mainstream media and CNN in particular seem to magically all go in one direction. Are we expected to believe that this is all just some sort of random coincidence, or is there something else behind it?
That was a college student there grilling CNN anchor Brian.
So
wait, is Brett Kavanaugh, we have
Brett Kavanaugh?
Yeah, he says they led the charges against Brett Kavanaugh, which, like, well, everyone was on that story, right?
It was a bit of a loaded question
because it was based like on the assumption that what he's saying was true. Whereas,
right.
Like, the only people that found Brett Kavanaugh to be fit for that position was the Republican-led Congress.
Yes. Yeah. So, I don't know. That one,
just
I'm like,
that was the only Democrat-led Congress that found, you know, it's like, and
well, what aboutism has nothing to do with that point. I mean, that specific point, Brett Kavanaugh, that's the only reason he was found fit. That's all I was saying. Yeah. I don't care who else has been found fit or fit.
Yeah, I don't know if CNN, but I swallow the point that CNN salivated over the accusations. Sure, right? But did they? I don't know. Let's just put a pin in that one, right?
But there's plenty
he
else.
He makes a valid point.
But there's plenty. Yeah, you cannot deny the fact. So specifically on Russian disinformation as it relates to the Hunter Biden laptop.
Sure.
They totally took whatever the then candidate Biden and Team Biden fed them.
Yes.
They ran with it, right? You had Van Jones crying on the air about like, you know, all the adults are back in the room. The adults are about to be back in the room. This is all Russian disinformation. Ignore it. So that absolutely was the case. Jake Tapper as well. I mean, on and on with it. The Russian collusion story, they ran wall-to-wall coverage of that stuff on New Day. And I mean, all over the place.
He didn't even mention the pandemic, which, you know, CNN has gone left, right and center all over the place, but no real journalism about the pandemic and all kinds of disinformation has been allowed to be on the air censored.
So here's Brian Stelter's response to this.
Too bad it's time for lunch.
You have 30 seconds.
No, I mean, there's a clock that says 30 seconds, but I think my honest answer to you, and I'll come over and talk in more detail after this, is that I think you're describing a different channel than the one that I watch. But I understand that is a popular right-wing narrative about CNN. I think it's important, when we're talking about shared reality and democracy, all of these networks, all these news outlets have to defend democracy.
Oh, yeah.
That is very condescending.
Yeah. That's a right-wing talking point that you're spewing there.
And I wonder if he really did go over and talk to him afterwards. I highly doubt it.
I doubt it. And it's a different network than the one that I watch.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, I think that what you just said about how everyone has different takes and you worked for Fox for over 10 years and wished that certain things you had not said or certain ways things you hadn't taken in a certain way, like that's an appropriate, humble way to address that kind of question. But to say like, oh, no, we don't do that. You're watching something else is extremely condescending.
Yeah.
And arrogant, that I just have such a problem with that response because everyone who's a journalist should be able to take responsibility for things that you wish you had done better or things that you wish. It's ridiculous.
And his defense of democracy, like that's what CNN's role is, a defense of democracy.
Yes. Also, not your job, guy. Like, right. What if socialism is better for us? What if, you know, utopian is better for us? Like, really? That's what you want to do here is defend democracy because this is a universal value?
Well, and I watched Tucker last night, Tucker Carlson, and he's like, he could have just apologized. Said, yeah, maybe we did get the Hunter Biden story wrong. You know, you're right about that. But we tried to do better. But no, he just gave him a completely blow off answer instead of, you know, addressing any of the truth that was in that kid's statement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a young journalist here, you know.
Yeah, this is you know, he's supposed to be the media voice of that channel, by the way. Like he is like the media watchdog. He's the one, right? Just blows him off with this condescending response. Like he should really have engaged this guy. Like what? I see what you're saying. He could have gone back and forth point by point on each of these things, but he didn't. He said he just dismissed it as a, you know, just as a right-wing narrative, right-wing talking point. But they've got more on their plate that they're dealing with too, which is that their ratings. So they launched that CNN Plus last week. I guess it was last week, right?
It was April, just before March 29th.
Yeah, March 29th. And oh my God. So they spent $250 million in the initial rollout. Actually, I'm sorry, $322 million overall to try to roll out this programming on CNN Plus. I mean, and just marketing alone, they spent $100 million to roll out CNN Plus, a streaming service that is, by all accounts, has been an absolute dismal rollout. They only had on March 22nd, during the 7 days ending on March 22nd, it had an average of 9,000 installs per day. It launched on Tuesday, March 29th, and according to TechCrunch, is already showing mediocre results in terms of standalone mobile app installs. Have you guys, and here's the thing, you can download the app, but to become a paying subscriber is a totally different thing, right? We all know we can try these things. We're like, oh, I want to see how it looks, the interface, and just like see it. But I'm not going to pay
$5.99
I'm going to pay $5.99 a month so I can see a separate Don Lemon show on CNN Plus, or I can see Brian Stelter's own show on CNN Plus.
Or maybe you just didn't get enough Anderson Cooper on regular CNN, so you want more Anderson Cooper. I mean, they already all have podcasts as well. It's just like, how much can you glob on to these people that you want more from them that you're not getting in the main network?
Well, and Chris Wallace is over there. Don't forget that.
Oh, yeah, Chris Wallace, who did an interview with 91-year-old William Shatner. Like, I love William Shatner, but I'm not paying $6 a month to go watch Chris Wallace, who just retired.
That's disinformation. It's actually on sale for $2 until April 20th, something or so.
Oh, okay.
It's 50% off, but and that's for life if you sign up.
Don't apologize, Clayton. Don't apologize, Clayton. Just say you're defending democracy. Bring up all of the buzzwords. Don't apologize.
Defending democracy.
You were watching a different show.
Okay.
When you heard that.
I'm going to see a CNN Plus flag on Clayton's profile picture now.
That's right. The service is available for viewing on the web, Apple TV, Fire TV as well. It was launched without distribution deals, with anything. So they just launched today announcing that they're partnering now with Roku. So now you'll get on some of the bigger streaming services, but I don't know what they're thinking. And the argument is from TechCrunch is that really for them to get to even like a level that they need to be at, they need to have like 2 million or more subscribers, paying for their service.
And that's not even their primetime viewership. Their primetime viewership does not even hit 2 million on a normal basis.
So you can have more people paying for CNN Plus than even watch your network? I mean,
there are users out there if you can attract them, but mm-hmm. you have to actually then offer value.
Yeah. What was that app they had launched like a year or two ago that was like it was like 7 to 8 minute long episodes of things that they figured people and they put a bunch.
Quibi?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, where they Quibi. Figured people would really want to watch this TV shows that were only like 6 minutes long. And that, where did they go?
Yeah, Quibi had 300,000 app installs on its first day.
I mean, look, we're all trying to figure out how to bring value to the internet to like, you know, make people's lives better, make our, you know, for our own careers. I get it. You know, but at the same time, like CNN, it doesn't have a track record trust.
You got to know that there's people in an upstairs room somewhere that thought that was a good idea. Like, we're going to make so much money, everybody. Sure. Like, this is going to be so amazing. And I've heard some people say, I got to use that term, but I've seen some reports on different people I've been listening to that they didn't even break six figures on their launch.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty brutal. You know, anyway. CNN Plus, not exactly setting the world on fire. You want to go over and watch, Brian Stelter's own show or get more of Anderson Cooper.
Maybe you like that condescending tone. Go ahead.
I guess
pay for it. Pay $6.99 for it.
Well, at least I know I can cancel it anytime.
I also condescend quite nicely. If you'd like to pay me $6.99 a month, I'll call you up and dress you down.
That's right.
All right. Well, shares of Twitter were down today in early trading on news that Elon Musk does not actually want to join the board of Twitter. Now, last week on news that Elon Musk had taken a majority stake in Twitter, the shares went up, enthusiasm went up, usage of Twitter went up, all metrics that are good for Twitter went up. But over the weekend, Twitter announced that Musk will not actually join the board, but will remain open to Twitter will remain open to his input.
Bigger problem is this though. Well, so one of the things he tweeted this weekend was, hey, I noticed like all of the top accounts are bullshit. He's like, hey, you know, all like the top 10 accounts, me included, he's like, I'm the only one that's like active. Like Taylor Swift hasn't tweeted in 3 months. Mm. Justin Bieber, I said he only tweeted like once this year.
Mr. T tweeted last week. That went viral.
He's not a top 10 account.
Oh.
But now research also showing that, and this is, I mean, this is not new, but there's continued research about these accounts on Twitter are all like mostly bots. Like half of the accounts tweeting about coronavirus were likely bots. That would, you know, that news was out there. But there's so many dead accounts that are, or just fake bot accounts that tweet like crazy. Again, in that book by Nicole Perlroth, where she writes about the Russian campaign
against Ukraine and
the United States.
Yes,
against in the 2020 in the 2016 election. No, was it the 2016?
It was 2020. Yes, 2016 against Hillary Clinton. That there were Russian bots who would just take over any account and retweet things, or spoof an American with things that they thought were like American sounding, and then they didn't really make up news; they would exploit news.
So we're going to be looking. I was going to be looking more into this, but I saw today on Reddit where the Wall Street Bets people have been essentially trolling those Twitter bots and some Reddit bots, getting them to pump a stock that doesn't exist. And so then these bots have been like retweeting all of these stuff, and they're just like pushing these bots to be pumping this stock that just flat out doesn't exist.
That's hilarious.
So, yep. I'll be looking more into that though, because it seems interesting.
And I think that's kind of smart, because there was the stipulation that was going to be on Elon that if he did join the board, he couldn't buy more than, I think it was 14.9%. But so he's probably like, I'm not joining the board, because he's if he, for a specific reason, bought that much, the 9.2% of Twitter, then he's obviously has a plan, because he has been incessantly trolling and asking, like the other day, you know, with the edit button, you know, how many votes did that have? It had like over 2 million votes. So right. He's got his finger on the pulse of Twitter. So I'm thinking like maybe he didn't do this so that he can buy more stock.
Perhaps. Yeah. But I think people who were excited about his, because one of the things that he did with his Starlink internet service was say that I will not be shutting down accounts in Russia or news sources in Russia. And so certain people who felt like, okay, he's a free speech purist, things are going to change, maybe feel a little discouraged that he won't actually take a seat on the board. But maybe we just wait it out before we figure out how we feel about it.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe as a user, he has more power than if he was on the board, because it's all politics on those boards anyway.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see if he's actually going to do any board membering, or if he's going to push them in any kind of way. I mean, but the news today on Twitter, it seemed like it affected the stock a little bit this morning, but then late afternoon, it kind of bounced back. So anyway, we'll keep our eye on what's going on with Twitter, and we'll keep our eye on what's going on with YouTube. We hope to be back on YouTube. Hopefully, I don't know, Wednesday or something. Maybe we'll see live.
But we'll be here too.
We'll be here as
we
well.
Have really appreciated our new audience over here on Rumble.
Thursday. Before
Thursday, why? Because Tuesday
was 2 days. So 2 days is tomorrow and Wednesday.
We went down Tuesday.
Yeah, so then they add 2 days. It's a week plus two.
I just logged in the back. It says we have two more days. So I don't know
today
is one day.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Tomorrow is another.
So we'll see at midnight if it resets.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we'll let you guys know via email like what's going on. But yeah, thrilled to have the thousands of you here on Rumble and the 10 of you over on Twitch. How many do we have on Twitch now?
Like two? Watching right now?
Yeah.
Combined Twitch and Facebook is 32.
All right.
Well, that's not
all
zero.
32 of you over to Facebook and Twitch. And Twitch has really become a I don't know. You know, we worry about Twitch too. Ari Elizabeth says, hello, there you are. Crimson is over on Twitch. I think I saw some other Twitchers. I mean, Twitch has become like a censorship place as well. So, right. I mean, Twitch has censored a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, oh yeah.
They all have.
Yeah. But they do like the TikTok thing too. Like where they're very anti like anything adult oriented also. So, so they're just weird. It depends on how big you are though.
Yeah.
As in viewership, not as in like how large of a person you are. But.
Yeah, no, Twitch isn't as bad as YouTube, like Irish.
Yeah, Twitch isn't as bad as YouTube. Yeah, I mean, we have, you know, almost, 700,000 subscribers on YouTube. And, you know, and we would get thousands a day watching us live, and for our live stream to be shut down because we were reporting the truth on vaccine information from Pfizer in those redacted documents is bullshit. And you know, we've reached out to Google, to their press office, for a response, and we've gotten no response.
No, they have no official position on what they, on how they mark videos for disinformation and why they don't give any kind of reason or specification on what they found offensive. So,
well, and what concerns me even more is who is doing it. Like, do they have medical staff, you know, that are going through these documents and being like, yeah, well, no, that is actually accurate. No, they're going to have engineers or support reps doing it that are not qualified to make those decisions.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, you wonder who owns Pfizer, right? It's Vanguard and BlackRock who own majority shares of those companies, right? They run the show on this. So that's absolutely the case, is that these companies are run by these big pharmaceutical companies. These big pharmaceutical companies are run by Wall Street. And so it's very easy for Google to get, you know, someone calls them up from BlackRock. Hey, just make sure, you know, no one's crap talking, and make sure you suppress Google search results.
Yeah. It seems more, what's the word? It's intentional than mm-hmm. you would think.
Yeah. Just try to Google information about Pfizer, and you're not going to find anything. I mean, yes. So it's a wonder, right? How that all works together. Yeah. All right.
Well, thank you for joining us. We will see you here tomorrow at the same time. Remember to subscribe to the newsletter. It's still morninginvest.com. And we'll see you here tomorrow.